to share with us your Dharma knowledge. And tonight's topic, I think it is also very important, the importance of that understanding letting go in cultivation. And basically, if we learn the Dharma, is for the development of happiness and peace. And to do that, to overcome our grief and our sorrow. The Buddha had taught that it is from attachment that grief arises. And therefore, when we practice, whether we progress spiritually or even in worldly sense, there is the need to let go. The practice of letting go means we let go our grasping tendency of the mind. And if we are weak in that area, in the sense that our grasping attachment is weak, then we will tend to have lesser degree of pain and suffering. And our topic mainly concerns with the meditation side, though it is not confined solely to the sitting posture, but rather our daily life. And therefore, I think that I'm now pass over to Brother Theo to carry on with his talk for tonight's topic.
Okay, thank you so much for the introduction to the topic, Brother. Okay. So very good evening once again to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight's topic, as you can see on the whiteboard, was given to me by Brother Gan. So the title is Understanding the Importance of Letting Go in Cultivation. Then just now in the introduction also, Brother T has mentioned, he said the Buddha did mention, he said it is attachment that is the one that caused suffering. So from attachment spring forth suffering. Then living being come out with this idea. If attachment is a cause of suffering, I must not attach. That's why they come out with the title, Letting Go. What is your understanding? Do you think this is the right way to cultivate? Very logical. Most of you will agree. Well, you have been taught what? What have you been taught? Learn how to let go. Practice letting go. Let us slowly investigate into this statement. Then we will develop further understanding so that you are not gullible. When you clearly understand, the meaning stand out, then you realize this statement is not appropriate. If you follow this statement and cultivate, you will get into trouble. This is what I normally say, thought-based knowledge level type of cultivation. If you use knowledge, thought-based, then it is logical. Appear very logical. Like what Brother T mentioned just now. If attachment is the cause of suffering, from attachment spring forth dukkha, then I must learn to let go. But we never ask the question, who have to let go? Who have to let go? When you are holding, you have to let go of that. True or not? True or not? If you are not holding, do you have to let go? There is nothing to let go. So what is meditation? Meditation is to realize the awakening, the enlightenment, the wisdom. That's why in the Buddha's teaching, it's very simple. He said, you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is Sila, Samadhi, and what? Last one is what? With wisdom, you will not attach. You will not cling. Then where is the need to let go? That's why it's sila, samadhi, and panya. He never says sila, samadhi, and let go. Understand? Huh? When you don't have wisdom, you want to let go, it is a illusion. It is a myth. Sound logical, appear logical, but it is not practical. It cannot be done. If you are holding means you don't have wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, that's why you attach, you cling, you grasp, and you are deceived by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, or what you perceive through your senses. That's why the Buddha called it wrong perception, due to your self-delusion, due to your ignorance. When you cannot understand, you will attach, you will cling. Then when you cling, you realize this is the cause of suffering, then you practice letting go. Can it be done? I ask you a very simple question. Yeah? In Hokkien, you know what they say? Gia lai gong. You only talk about it and say, okay, la, I let go. La. I don't want to attach. La. This one make me unhappy, crazy. Yeah. Cause me sleepless night. You think you can sleep after that? Yeah? You think you have let go? This is a word, understand? This is not a realization. That's why this is a fallacy. Letting go is a concept created by thought. Created by thought. So this is a fallacy. This is not reality. This is not the truth. The mind will justify through what? Suppression, control. That's why he say, next time he say all these things, I don't want to get angry already. Did you check with mindfulness inside what is going on? You say you don't want to get angry. Means what? You are suppressing your anger. Understand? You are not letting go. You are suppressing the anger. You don't want to get angry. Then you try not to be selfish. You try not to be fearful, emotional. But the reality is, as long as you don't have wisdom, you have not penetrated the Dhamma and realized the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self to awaken to the truth, you can never practice letting go. This is all words, concepts, idea, knowledge, still within the field of thought. Can agree or not so far? Huh? Can follow or not? Because I don't want to create panic in you for nothing. I come to realize a lot of people tell me, even book also write, you must practice letting go. You must not attach. You must not, in Hokkien they say, oh, Cantonese, chop jaw. What is the English word? Chop jaw. What is the English word? No, not calculate. Chop jaw means you hold on to a lot of things. You hold chop jaw. Everything also you want to have a hand in it and want to say something about it. Means kipo. Very chop jaw, this style of person. So when you have this type of mind, means you don't have understanding, wisdom. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot accept people for what they are. You have your views and opinion of things. Then this mind has this delusion, self-delusion, ignorant. It cannot understand truth. Then it tries to find ways through thinking to break free. That's why they come out with all these words. Practice letting go. I already explained who have to let go. Only the person holding without wisdom have to let go. So if you don't have wisdom, how can you let go? That's why in Hokkien, gia lai gong means you cannot do it. It's just to justify Okay lah, I don't want to get angry lah. Okay lah, I forgive him lah. But when you say it, your tone is such that inside you are still not happy because you are clinging onto the words. So the correct understanding in cultivation is understanding the importance of what? Yeah? You have to replace this with what? Yeah? Importance of? Wisdom, or cultivation or understanding. That's why wisdom free. Understanding or wisdom. Or wisdom. Because without wisdom, you cannot liberate your mind. You cannot free your mind. So when you cultivate the Dhamma, you cultivate to realize the wisdom. So the focus is on wisdom. That's why you look at the teaching. What did the Buddha say? Huh? What did the Buddha say under the teaching? At Kosambi, he told the monk, the handful of leaf. What are they? What are these handful of leaf? He picked up from the ground, the handful of leaf. These are the essential teaching. That's why he teach only this. He say what he has understood are like the leaves in the forest. But what he has taught the monk are just the handful, because these are conducive for liberation of mind, for the development of wisdom, for the realization of enlightenment in the here and now, for the ability to develop right view and right understanding to liberate the mind, for the realization of Nibbana. And this one is the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching. That's why the essence of the teaching, the Buddha called it the Four Noble Truths. Why is it called Four Noble Truths? Huh? Why is it called Noble Truth? Not ultimate truth or certain type of particular truth. Why is it called the Four Noble Truths? Yeah? Why the word noble, not ultimate? Very good. Continue. These are called noble truth or Aryan truth, because Aryas are noble one. It's because these are the truth when you realize it will lead to enlightenment. When you realize it can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. Noble ones. And noble ones are called enlightened ones. That's why he said, your focus on meditation or cultivation is just this Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching. And in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, what was the Buddha's emphasis? The first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, what did he tell the monk? The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, you're familiar with that. It started off with what? Avoid the two extreme. Okay? What are the two extreme? Self-mortification and sensual indulgence. Okay? Then after that, what did he say? He proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. Then he said, this is the first turning. Then after that, he proclaimed the second Noble Truth. The third Noble Truth, the fourth Noble Truth. Then after he proclaimed, he went into the second turning. Then he clearly gave the emphasis under the second turning. He said, this first Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. Then the second turning of the second noble truth is the cause of suffering, which is grieving, is to be abandoned or severed. Then the third noble truth, second turning, is this Nibbana is to be realized. Then the last one is the noble eightfold path that leads to the end of suffering is to be cultivated. Then after that, he continued the third turning and the emphasis is different again. Then after that, what did he told the monk? He said, it is because in the past, living being does not understand this four noble truth, that there is suffering in this world. Then even he himself, he said, if he had not understood the four noble truth in his three turning and 12 mode, he cannot proclaim to be the fully enlightened one among man and God and all those things. So the emphasis on cultivation is the four noble truth and its three turning. So this three turning or the four noble truth is very important. I better write in red. Three turnings of the four noble truth. Four noble truth. So the first turning, proclamation of truth by the Buddha. Of the noble truth by the Buddha. Just like in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta when he proclaimed, this is the first noble truth of dukkha. There are eight conditions, which are the realities of life and existence. Then he said, birth, old age, sickness and death leads to dukkha. You don't have the wisdom. Then separation from loved ones and prized possession can also lead to suffering, dukkha. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, then the last one, the seventh one is when you cannot get what you want. When your expectations in life are not met, not able to get what one desires lead to suffering. Then the last one, the final summary is, in short, it is due to your self-delusion or ignorance that condition you to deludedly grasp and cling to this fire aggregate for my mind that I call dukkha. So the moment he proclaimed this first noble truth, followed by the second noble truth, third noble truth, and the fourth noble truth, you already have the ability to grasp his teaching. What type of wisdom will you realize? First turning, what type of wisdom? Here I put first turning. First turning lead to what type of wisdom? Sutta Maya Panya. After hearing the sutta, you will realize the type of wisdom which the Buddha called Sutta Maya Panya. So this one corresponds to Sutta Maya Panya. And what is sutta? What is sutta? The discourse of the Buddha. All of the teaching that he has proclaimed. Sutta-maya is after you have heard the sutta, where in the olden days you cannot read. There is no book. There is no writing. There is only words spoken by the Buddha. That's why they use the word hearing. After hearing the proclamation of the Buddha, then at that time no tape recorder, no CD, no all this advanced technology. So you miss. You have to wait for Ananda to repeat. So now you're so fortunate. Not free also, you can listen the recording. So nowadays, Sutta Maya Panya is a lot easier to develop. That's why everything about the teaching points towards wisdom. You cultivate to realize wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot bring about the understanding not to attach. When you already have the wisdom, what happened? You are not deluded by the phenomenal world. Can follow? Yeah? Because you understand their characteristics. They are impermanent. They lead to suffering. And they are empty and non-self because they are impermanent. So because of that, this wisdom will prevent you from clinging, grasping, and holding. Because this is wisdom leading to, they call vimutti. Panya vimutti. Liberation of mind due to wisdom. Then the other one is cheto vimutti. Cheto is also panya vimutti. We are from cheto, you develop panya. That's why it's given another name. But panya vimutti is the ultimate one. So without panya, you cannot liberate. You will hold. That's why when you are holding, how can you let go? It's crazy there. And now you see that it is crazy to do this. But the moment you have wisdom, you are not deluded by it, means you will not fall for it. You will not hold. You will not cling. You will not grasp. You will not be deceived. True or not? Then, is there a need to let go? Is there a need to let go? Because you are incapable of holding. You see through clearly their characteristic. It brings about suffering. That is delusion. That is non-self, not me. That's why your wrong thought all straightened out, liberated. You don't practice letting go. You cultivate wisdom, straighten your view to realize the truth. That's why Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view. He never say right letting go. Can follow? That's why when you read the Dhamma book, you have to be careful. The other thing was earlier on one of the Tuesday class, Sunday class, Wu Pingxing, so there was a lady who asked the question we were talking about and discussing the silent mind, the direct seeing and all those things. Then she recollect that she read from certain book and certain teacher used to tell them. That's why she asked me this question. I said, but if some call it the knower, stay with the knower, is it also the silent mind? Can it also lead to the direct seeing? What do you think? Huh? Silent means what? Huh? What is silent? Ah! Silent means no thought. No thought means no thinking, no sankhara, no activity. Then imply stillness. Peace. Calmness. And tranquility. Yeah? So if silent is this, then what is the knower? Huh? What is the knower? There is a person inside, correct? Right? Who know? Person inside. Who know? And how do you know? You have to perceive it there. True or not? Through memory there. Then only you can know that. The moment you perceive, you are not silent. The thought arises. Sankara arises. Then the ego is there. The egoic mind. I see. I hear. I smell. I taste. I tactile feel and think. That's why I am exists already. Sakaya diti, self-delusion. That's why don't just gullibly believe what people tell you. Stay with the knower. The correct word should be what? stay with the awareness, yes. Because this is just an awareness before the knowing. That is sati. Stay with the awareness. That's why don't be gullible. A lot of books appear very logical because popularly accepted. So when you understand all this, you are very precise with the word people use. Then you will come to know whether people understand or don't understand. Because when they understand, they will never mix up this type of thing. That's why cultivation is not what you think. Cultivation demands clarity, understanding. That's why the Buddha said, this Dhamma can only be realized by who? By the wise, each for themselves. Not the one before they awaken. Whatever you think you know is all knowledge, not the true Dhamma before you awaken. So before you awaken, you can become gullible, you can make mistakes, but not really important. More important is you must meditate with understanding, means you don't become gullible. You don't just believe what people tell you, then go into it blindly. And I tell you, you can be wasting your time. You can spend 20, 30 years going in and out of meditation retreat. Finally, you are back to square one. How many of you have viewed the video that I sent out today on Bodhidharma? Huh? Oh, good. What do you all understand? Huh? The first video, what do you all understand? Huh? They're supposed to go into 3 day, 3 night of silent retreat, isn't it? Cannot talk. Then after the maybe second or third day, suddenly the howling sound from the wind and all those things outside. One of the monks panicked. Then he reacted and he spoke something. Then the other monk thought he very smart. Hey, you're not supposed to speak. Why do you speak? And then he realized he also speak. Then the third fellow said, ha, luckily I'm the last one. I didn't speak. He also speak. Then what did Bodhidharma do? He grind the, what? You call what? The glassware. The glassware. He grind it at the table. That's why he didn't talk, but he make sound. Understand? Then you know what they ask him? What are you doing? We're supposed to meditate, no, without sound. But they didn't say without sound. They say don't talk. You cannot talk. He was not talking. He was grinding. That's why finally he replied to them. He said, I'm trying to grind this glassware into a mirror. Then the assistant to the abbot laughed. You must be crazy, he said. How can you grind that glassware to become a mirror? Impossible. Then you know what Bodhidharma said? Likewise, you people meditate without understanding. You think by sitting you can realize the enlightenment. It's more difficult than grinding this fellow to become a mirror, is it? Grinding this fellow to become a mirror, if you do it patiently, take a very, very long time, maybe you can achieve it. That's why now you can see all the plates. You can reflect on it in the shining surface. But he said, if you sit without understanding, you will never realize the true mind, the Dhamma, the awakening, the understanding. Then they got a shock. Then one of the monks, not that deluded, he asked. What did he ask? Yeah, maybe I test your memory. What did he ask? Yeah? What did he ask? Huh? What did he ask? Anybody can recall? Yeah. Can I recall? He asked Bodhidharma. Yeah. Then how should we meditate? If we don't sit, how should we meditate? Yeah. And you know what Bodhidharma tell him? He said, do you know what is sitting or not? And what is enlightenment or not? To awaken, to realize the Buddha Dhamma, you need to understand what the Dhamma is. The Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma, is without specific form, you see. It's not rigid. By sitting and dulling your mind, or focusing and concentrating your mind and creating all those thoughts, you can never realize the Buddha Dhamma. That's why he said you must cultivate with understanding, which is all the while I have been trying to explain to you. Meditation has to be done with understanding. When you don't understand, you become gullible. People sit, you sit. People say don't talk, you don't talk. People say not this, you not. But what are you doing in the name of meditation? You cannot understand. Then later on, one or the other monk again asked, then how can we develop the understanding? What did Bodhidharma say? We have to start from basic. Basic. Basic means what? Assume you don't know anything. Start by checking with yourself. Who are you? What are you? The basic essential understanding comes from your own inner mind. That's why self-knowledge is not something you can seek outside. You have to reverse the light and look within your own mind ground. That's why your own mind ground is the essential ground where you start your meditation. Then he said, like the Buddha said, your mind is the forerunner of all things. And this is the most basic. Remember? Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. When mind arises, everything arises. So all of your good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, come from mind. When mind is deluded, all thought become wrong thought. All action, speech and thought become defiled. He said this is the most basic. If you can't even understand this, you cannot meditate. You cannot cultivate. So you have to start by investigating your own mind ground. How you create defilement. How you create karmic negativity. How you get yourself entangled. And this one is not through sitting. This one is through cultivating life itself. That's why he said the real Dhamma, the real meditation is Zazen, mind itself, in daily life, daily mindfulness. No amount of sitting can awaken you unless you have cultivated from the past before. Because sitting is formal meditation. You cannot test yourself. A lot of your defilement or latent tendency, anusaya, they are still suppressed within the calmness and the stillness because there is no condition for it to arise. That's why formal meditation cannot awaken you unless you have cultivated from the past before. So no amount of sitting can make a difference to your understanding to awaken the mind. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about cultivation in daily life. You look at the Noble Eightfold Path, all the eight path factors, what are they related to? They are all related to life. Correct not? First one is you must have right view or right understanding of what? Of all the nature's law or truth that governs life and existence. That's why the Buddha taught the five universal order. He called it the Pancha Niyamas. You familiar with the five there? Huh? The two, first two are scientific. Physical law, Uttu Niyama, and Bija Niyama, biological law. Then the other three are spiritual law. Karma Niyama, law of karma. Chitta Niyama, law of the mind, how your mind functions. Following dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. Then Dhamma Niyama, the other aspect of truth within life. All of the Dhamma, the essential teaching of the Buddha. All of the other truth. That's why you call it a handful of leaf, the Four Noble Truth. When you have right view regards to this universal law or nature's law that governs life existence, means you understand life. You understand the secret of life. You know what suffering is. You know the cause of arising of suffering. Then you know suffering can end. Cessation of dukkha. Leading to the realization of nibbana or the enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Then the fourth noble truth explained to you clearly that this can be done. There is a path. You cultivate this noble eightfold path. It leads to the end of all suffering. Enlightenment in the here and the now. And this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So if noble eightfold path is a meditation, it has to do with life. Because the first power factor is right understanding of all the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why the first right view law of karma is so important. The advice of the Buddha came from there. The five daily contemplation he told you relate to the first noble truth reality, the first four. Then the last one is about law of karma. The Buddha said you must reflect and contemplate every day. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. If the law of karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? Yeah? You must take care of karma, isn't it? Then karma take care of your life. Otherwise, you will fall. Your karmic nature will get into trouble. So to take care of karma, you have to train your mind to be aware, mindful, heedful, to be aware of your mental intention behind your action, speech, and thought. Then only you can cultivate accordingly. And to take care of karma, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. Isn't it? You have to avoid all evil, because law of karma is very simple. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. That's why you have to avoid all evil to avoid negative karma. Then you have to cultivate wholesomeness. Then finally, you have to purify the mind so that you are not deluded. So that you don't develop the self-delusion to cling, to grasp, and to attach, and to hold. When you already not deluded, you will not attach, not cling, and not hold. That's why you don't have to let go. Letting go is a myth, a fallacy. Doing something that you yourself are incapable of doing because you are not awakened. So you cannot let go. It's only words, it's only concept, idea created by the thought to circumvent all this problem. Because you got no other way. So, those who understand, they will not be so foolish. They will not be so deluded. They will not practice letting go. They will cultivate accordingly, according to what the Buddha has taught, to develop the three types of corresponding wisdom, born of the first turning, second turning, and the third turning. I haven't gone into the other two turning yet. So, what I want to bring about is an understanding that wisdom is very important. And to develop the wisdom, you have to understand the teaching because they are all related, interconnected. So coming back to the first right view, law of karma, to avoid all evil, the Buddha recommends keeping your precept, just like our puja, pre-puja, you renew your precept. Because if you were to reflect and contemplate through mindfulness, who are the ones who violate these precepts? They have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. We have gone through this. Who kill and who harm? Who deceive? Who cheat? Who steal? Who lie? Who commit sexual misconduct and partake intoxicants? These are selfish people, deluded people, violent people, angry people, people with all the evil roots of envy, jealousy, fear, insecurity, delusion. So people who has the evil root, they are evil people. They act, speak, and think with the evil root. And because of that, their karmic nature will fall. And that's why if you don't keep your precept, you cannot take care of karma. You will get yourself entangled. Then the law of karma, when they ripen, when there is condition for it to arise, it will hit you. The form and mind will have to reap what it sow. That's why if you want to avoid evil, you have to keep the precept. You cannot violate the precept. And to keep the precept, you must train your mind to be mindful, leading to heedfulness, to see clearly your mental intention behind everything you do. That's why from right thought, the Buddha teach the second power factor, third and fourth power factor as right thought. Sorry, right view. From right view, you come to right thought, right speech, and right action. And all these are related to life. Because to live life, you have to arise your thought. True or not? True or not? To live life, you have to communicate through speech. Nowadays, maybe internet, WhatsApp, no need to talk. Then SMS, email, and such thing. But it's still the right communication, the art of communication. And speech being a major part of it, because speech has to do with relationship, interaction. Then you have to act in life. That's why Noble Eightfold Path got right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and the way you live your life, right livelihood. If Noble Eightfold Path is a meditation, then how can you sit in a formal meditation and expect to cultivate right view, right speech, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood? Then how to arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, to abandon the unwholesome action and speech and livelihood? Then the second right effort to prevent them from arising. This can only be done in life itself. That's why the real meditation is daily life, sati sampajana, the four foundation of mindfulness, very clearly states that. First category of cultivation, you anchor your mind to your kaya, that's why you develop one of the skillful means, either anapanasati or whatever. Then after that, you have to be mindful of your four posture, and mindful of every action and every moment in the present moment, including answering nature's call. While eating, standing, looking forward, bending, turning, stretching, putting on your clothing and all those things, answering nature's call, going about doing your work and your duty. You have to do it with mindfulness, heedfulness. And there is the meditation, but this was never emphasized, never understood and taught properly. Then after that, when you develop the daily mindfulness, then when you see all this, then only you can straighten your view further and understand that this five degree of form and mind is not what you think you are. Where this is also dependent, originating, condition arising, impermanent. Therefore, non-self, not you. And you attach and cling to all the five degree of form and mind, you will lead to suffering. Because the upadana khandhas, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering, is dukkha. So all this, if you don't cultivate in daily life, you cannot understand. Then after that, the Buddha said, you don't use thought anymore. After the four right effort, you go into sati. That's why the seventh power factor is samadhi. Sila is the first six, avoid evil, do good. Then when it comes to samadhi, this is the seven and path factor. Seven and eight path factor. Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the first six. Noble Eightfold Path. So when it comes to samadhi, it's all about mindfulness. And mindfulness mainly centered on the four foundations, samasati. That's why when you develop sati, you stabilize it, then it becomes samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, because your mind is unwavering and collected. Because samadhi is the stability of sati that makes your mind a free mind, you know, not in concentration. No. If in concentration, it's sure concentrated and absorbed. Unwavering, collected. But this one is a free mind, not in concentration, not a conditioned state. A free mind having this stability of mindfulness. That's why it's called samadhi in real life, in the midst of life. And that is the one that can awaken. That is the Upacara Samadhi. That mind is not in Apana Samadhi, not in absorption, not in one-pointedness, not in concentration, but it is collected and unwavering. Means, when you see something or hear something or you perceive something in your daily life, because your mind has Samadhi, that's why it can continue to stay collected and unwavering. That it can see things as they are, the direct seeing, not through your stirring of your mind, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, and your belief system interfering with what you see. That's why seeing things as they are is free from memory. Then later on, you develop the wisdom, then you act according to that wisdom or that understanding. You don't act according to memory. Your memory is all your accumulated scars of memory, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your selfishness, your delusion, your conditioning, your belief system, your tradition. Everything is inside your memory. And when you act according to that, you're not acting at all. Why? Because you're acting out of fear, out of insecurity, out of your views and opinion of things, out of your conditioning. So that type of action is not acting at all, because there is greed and delusion behind. But when you act according to wisdom developed through the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path after you have straightened your view, then you have right view. You will right act appropriately. You will know why you become like that. Like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are. Every moment, every instant, because of karma. So you don't blame anybody for what happened. You can accept all this reality and be at peace with it. Then do what you have to do. Need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Then need to repent, repent. Then vow not to repeat all this. Then follow the advice of the Buddha to keep your precept. Cultivate wholesomeness. Means cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then the constant four-eye effort to purify and to transform yourself personality-wise, character-wise. That's how you improve your life. That's how you transform and become less deluded. Less deluded means less avijja. Less avijja means less thinking, because the first two links of the dependent origination is avijja paccaya sankhara. Dependent on ignorance or avijja, it conditions mental activity, sankhara. So if you straighten your view and less delusion, less ignorant, you will have less sankhara. That's why you become more and more mindful, more and more heedful. Your mind become more and more quiet and more peaceful. But there are a lot of things that in the past you habitually or through heedlessness, habitual tendency, you create all those heedless thinking. You become so heedless. It's because your hindrance are there. Then when you cultivate, the spiritual faculty take over, the hindrance is eradicated, rooted out. And because of that, sati take over. Sada, virya, and sati leading to samadhi take over. So the spiritual faculty, sada, virya, sati, samadhi, then the panya, the wisdom, which allow you to straighten your view, will take over. Then when you are less and less deluded, you will not hold on to many things. You are not interested in many things. You can understand them for what they are, and you can be at peace with them. And you have more joy, more peace, more happiness. That's how you progress. That is what meditation is all about. Not just to sit and sit and sit. And sometimes they don't even move. Actually, you sometimes torture yourself unnecessarily in the retreat until you become so miserable, the pain so unbearable, yet you force yourself to sit without understanding why you sit. And sometimes, like I used to say, you dare not even make a noise. You dare not even let go your fat, understand, and all the thing. Because your thought tell you, this is embarrassing, this is not allowable. I had to maintain noble silence. You cannot tolerate the slightest noise and irritation. We meditate to become more wise so that we are not affected by all this. But then that type of meditation which people taught you and you learned make you more sensitive, more easily irritable. Then you have to check. You cannot be at peace with so many things now. Last time when people hoo-ha or make noise because you join them, you can tolerate all those things. Well, now you say you cultivate the noble silence, cannot make noise. Nothing wrong with that. But if you deludedly hold on to this idea, which is not a realization, then you become gullible. Then you will get yourself trapped. And like the Bodhidharma say, you are wasting your time. Just now I didn't finish the Bodhidharma one. The last part was very interesting. After he explained to them about the basic understanding of mind, about mind is a foreign of all things and all those things, then you know what he said or not? Because the Buddha Dharma is not rigid, not a specific form. That's why he said no amount of sitting can allow you to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dharma or to awaken. And he said if you just do what people tell you to do without understanding, this is superficial cultivation, he said. Wasting time. He used the word wasting time. Very wasteful. You can read the English translation. The English translation is not so accurate. But the Mandarin is very, very accurate and very precise. Superficial in Mandarin, what you call? Superficial. Piao Meng Kung Fu, I think something like that inside there. He said, you are trying to impress people that you are meditating. Understand? In and out of retreat, silent, noble silence. But you do without understanding, is it? You are wasting your time. That's why you can be in and out of retreat 30, 40 years. When you go back to daily life, nothing has changed. Because noble info path is not there. So this part is the understanding that you need to develop. So when it comes to formal meditation, it is mainly to train the mind to develop the stability of mindfulness. Because most people cannot be peaceful, cannot be mindful and aware. You know why or not? The Buddha already explained it. Why are living beings not peaceful? Not able to be in the meditative state. Why? Because of what? The five mental hindrances. Because they hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and aware. That's why they are called mental hindrances. When you have restlessness, can you be peaceful? Mental hindrance there. When you are restless, means you got fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Something is bothering you. That's why your mind becomes restless. There are a lot of things you have not resolved. That's why they continuously haunt you, trouble you, disturb you. So mental hindrances are very powerful. And the first two is even more powerful. It throughout the day, every moment of seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, you stir your mind. You got a lot of kipo mind, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, everything also you want to comment. So if you do it with every moment of sense experience, what happened to you? This becomes habitual, isn't it? When it becomes habitual, means you are constantly arising mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will, which is your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience, then how can you be ever peaceful? True or not? Throughout the day, you react like that. These are all mental hindering. It will hinder you until it becomes habitual tendency. That's why you become heedless like anything. You want to stop thinking, cannot. You want to be silent, cannot. You want to be peaceful, cannot. That's why you go and meditate. They say, fix the mind, control the mind. They give you object of meditation. You go and gullibly follow instruction. Concentrate, focus, note. Then after that become more peaceful. Oh, you say this must be the correct one. The actual teaching never say all this. The actual teaching just tell you to develop mindfulness through anapanasati-asana. Because your spiritual faculty is still not there yet, the Buddha knew. That's why he said, cultivate mindfulness of the in and out breath. He never asked you to note, focus, and concentrate. No. He just say mindful. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Then allow this mind to settle down without thought. Awareness means the mind and the breath move as one, without thought. And that is silent. That is meditation. Then after that, go into four posture. That's why you do your walking and all those things. Then while you walk, you have to sit. Then after that, you have to lie down. Then you have to do the other posture. So you have to stand at time. So standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. These are the four basic posture. You can't be mindful of this. How can you be mindful of the connecting posture that link all this? That's why the sati sampajana is to link all this. And this is what the four foundation of mindfulness is all about. So when you understand the cultivation, you will know how to move into it and you will know how to develop it accordingly. Then you will not be gullible. Then you can develop the free mind with mindfulness most of the time. So what the Buddha taught is, there are the five opposite spiritual faculty, which he said, when you cultivate them, it will lead to the eradication of the five mental hindrance. So you don't go and fight, control, and suppress the hindrance. You don't go and get emotional over the hindrance. A lot of cultivators make this serious mistake. They say, I'm a cultivator, I must not have anger. I still got anger. They become very frustrated now after many, many years of meditation, going to retreat. They realize they still got anger. Then you know what they do? They try to control their anger, suppress their anger. So next time anything disturbs them, they yawn, don't want to get angry. This is suppression, this is control. This is what you call practice letting go. Letting go of the anger. You don't want to get angry. Actually, you suppress your anger. You are not letting go because you don't have wisdom. If you have wisdom, you cannot react. You cannot get angry with people. Well, you can see things as they are. They are just the way they are. You can be at peace with all situations in life. That's why in the first place, how the anger stir? Because you have wrong view. You want things your way. You cannot get what you want. Then you stir. You react. That's why anger arises. And anger is impermanent. Condition arising. Not intrinsic in you. Anger is not you. So don't be deluded by anger. Then when you realize anger is not you, you only need to relax, silent, then straighten your view. So next time when you confront it, you have right view, you will not do all this foolish thing. Then you don't have to let go of anger. Understand? You can follow that. Letting go is a myth. It's a fallacy. It's a delusion. You don't go and practice this foolish thing. When you already wise, awakened, not deluded, you will not hold. You will not be deceived by all this. That's why you don't have to let go. When you are incapable of holding, grasping, clinging, because you are not deluded by it anymore, you have awakened to their characteristic. You know them for what they are. Then the mind is incapable of being deceived, deluded. That's why it cannot hold, it cannot cling, it cannot grasp. Then, is there a need to let go? There is no need, is there? That is what the cultivation is all about. That's why sila, samadhi, and panya. You must realize the wisdom, the awakening. Okay, now I will have to finish it off. After he proclaimed the first turning, then the Buddha continued with the second turning. Second turning is what? The Buddha said, if after the first turning, let's say, you are still not able to perceive the Dhamma, or penetrate the Dhamma. Then he said, under the second turning, you must contemplate, reflect, and what? What else? Contemplate, reflect, and inquire. Inquire. Huh? Sorry, inquire E. Inquire into what? Into the first turning. Okay, what he has proclaimed. So, under the second turning, when the Buddha developed the questioning or the inquiry, this is the inquiry, So you recall the proclamation of the Four Noble Truths. Then the Buddha turned it a second time, this Four Noble Truths. Is it the first Noble Truth after he has proclaimed the Noble Truth of suffering? Under the second turning, what did he say? This Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. You have to understand it. Not only knowledge, wise all. You have to understand it clearly in life. Then you ask yourself. That's why you inquire. Why did the Buddha say this? Why did he say this Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood? Very easy there. If you don't understand, what happened? If you don't understand this Noble Truth, means you suffer without knowing you are suffering. Understand? Or? You're still blaming other people. That guy make me angry. If he had not asked me to do all those things, all this would not have happened. If he had not lent me his car, I would not have got the accident. Anyong to tell. Cannot. Well, the mind will justify as well. And this is suffering, understand? And yet you don't know that these are suffering. That's why suffer without knowing is suffering is the most miserable. That's why the Buddha said the first type of suffering is what? What is the first type of suffering? There are three types of suffering. Dukkha. Dukkha what? Dukkha dukkata. Suffering in suffering. Then like the Buddha said, when your body suffer, don't allow your mind also to suffer. So that's why suffering within suffering. And when you are deluded, really, dukkha dukkata is very serious. That suffering can be truly traumatic and miserable. That's why people can go into depression, grief, sorrow, lamentation, suicidal tendency, want to commit suicide. And they lock themselves up. They hate everybody, including themselves. How can the living being become like that? It's because of delusion, not understanding what suffering is, the Noble Truth. So when you reflect and contemplate and you ask yourself, oh, no wonder the Buddha said this Noble Truth or Dukkha is to be understood. So after you inquire, what is the next question? Well, after you inquire, you have to reflect and contemplate it. First is, why did the Buddha say this? Now you understand. If I don't understand suffering, the Noble Truth, I will suffer without understanding. I will be caught in it and become miserable. Then now that I know that, I have to understand this. This Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. So what is the next inquiry? How can I understand this Noble Truth of Dukkha, is it? How? That's why he said you have to reflect onto it, contemplate onto it. How you reflect? You recollect to mind the proclamation of the first Noble Truth. What did the Buddha say? He said, birth, old age, sickness, and death is suffering. Then you reflect and contemplate on death. That's why you recollect through memory the birth process. Then as you recollect mindfully, then you will come to a certain point where you realize there was suffering. That's why you understand clearly what suffering is, why birth is suffering. Most living beings are so heedless, they never pay attention. Whenever they got problem, they say, see doctor. Take medicine, after that still cannot develop the cure. Complain again, then see another doctor. Then maybe another specialist. Then some gullible, we have past life they did to people, they go and see Bomo. They go and see all the medium and all those things. And then get themselves entangled more. Then do all the funny thing. Believe in fortune teller and all those things and the feng shui people. Then you get yourself more entangled. So without wisdom, without understanding, you will never know how to develop the second turning. But when you reflect, contemplate into all this reality, then you start to develop deeper understanding of what dukkha is. So first turning is when the truth is proclaimed without explanation, you can understand, this wisdom will arise. But let's say you cannot understand, then you go to the second turning. After you reflect and contemplate, what type of wisdom will arise? Citta maya panya. Cinta, not citta, cinta. You fall in love. Cinta maya panya. Yeah? Wisdom, when you develop the contemplative wisdom, means when you reflect, contemplate into the first noble truth proclamation by the Buddha, you actually stabilize your understanding. You can follow. When you reflect and contemplate, you start to stabilize your understanding because you have contemplated through it. You reflect, recall to memory what birth is all about. Then from there, you understand clearly how they bring about suffering. Then the Buddha's five daily contemplation. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. This is the reality of the form, element, not me. It goes the way of nature. You are not the only one experiencing it. Everybody with a form, physical form, experience this reality. So it is a universal truth, universal reality. That's why it is not you alone. And then you will understand. Then you will develop the wisdom. So as you reflect and contemplate, you stabilize your understanding, then you slowly assimilate them into your nature. Because you have contemplated, you have reflected, you have inquired. And all this, as you go through the second turning, and this is where the most important aspect of cultivation is. That's why my teacher always reminded me, no less than 6 times, when I saw him personally, Ajayantra, he said, we choose contemplate, reflect until very, very clear the Dhamma. Then only it reached the stability. Then when you have achieved these 2 levels of stability, especially the second turning, it will prepare you to receive truth and awaken to the Dhamma, to the essential teaching. Then you will develop the penetrative wisdom called the third turning. Third turning is what? Huh? What is the third turning? All about enlightenment, isn't it? That's why it's called Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana, which is meditation, which is the meditative discipline. So this one, the third turning, is all about enlightenment. Third turning. This one is about bhavana. Meditative training. And this one will lead to the third type of wisdom called bhavana maya panya. This one is very penetrative. When you realize this, you will surely awaken. Then you are not deluded, you will not grasp, you will not cling, you will not hold. then your mind is free, fully liberated. Now you understand the cultivation. Huh? Cultivation is about wisdom, nothing else. And nothing free you except wisdom. Not the fantastic meditation. Not the fantastic concentration. Jhana, jnana, and all those things. Forget about it. These are all conditioned arising state. When you go for retreat for umpteen days or many days, when you every time also calm yourself down, put yourself in a quiet location with very peaceful setting, any creature also will become peaceful and asana. Not necessary human being unless you have a lot of worry, attachment. You put any animal there also, they become peaceful. And they will be very happy if you are all very peaceful energy, you got a lot of food, you are served. And now they even come out with 5-star condition for you to meditate. Certain temple, they want it to be that way. So you are so comfortable there, and the setting, the environment, everything is so conducive. And you don't have to do anything. Every day meditate, meditate. That type of mind state is sure going to be fantastic, peaceful. But fantastic meditation doesn't bring about awakening, enlightenment. It is the wisdom that liberates your mind, nothing else. Not all the fantastic meditative experience, they are just conditioned arising mind state, causal phenomena. If it doesn't bring about wisdom, it is of not much use. Okay? Yeah, with that I will end my today's sharing. Huh? So thank you for listening. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe now Q&A. Huh? I will have a drink. No, I don't have. You read to me. Oh, you mean he WhatsApp over? Oh, I check and see. I haven't opened up my WhatsApp. Oh, I think there are 9 messages. Oh, no, not from him. Yeah. You ask him to listen to the recording, please. Maybe I will answer the first part. Does family obligation affect cultivation? Okay? Don't add in the word letting go. Otherwise, it becomes very confusing. If I accept this title and speak according to this title, I become gullible. That shows I also don't understand meditation. If I can go and tell you and teach you how to let go, means finish already. If the Buddha can teach you wisdom, you think he don't want to teach you? Understand? That's why the Buddha himself say he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize it yourself. Wisdom cannot be taught. You have to awaken yourself. That's why this one is not for you to practice. Wisdom you cannot practice. You have to silence your mind, develop the meditation and awaken. And I don't know about letting go. Maybe letting go can practice one. Yeah? It's from the thought. It's an idea. You go and practice using the thought. So family obligation to me is not an excuse. If you understand, meditation is daily life. Because my personal experience is, during the early days of my cultivation, I was also married. Immediately within less than a year after I graduated, I got married. I graduated in February 79. End of the year, I got married officially. Then I have a family as usual. I got two children, beautiful children, and my wife, my parents, my brothers, my sister. And we have a lot of family members and beautiful relationship. And it was never a problem. Because like the Buddha said, you have to understand the domain of meditation. What are the domain of meditation? Meditation can be developed anywhere, any place, anytime. That's why the domain of meditation is daily life. Life itself can be your meditative ground, meditation training. That's why life itself is the true teacher. You learn from life. So family obligation, unless you deludedly attach and cling and justify and give yourself that reason, because I am married, I still got duty, I still got obligation, I got no time to meditate, then what you want to do? Because it's your life, nothing to do with other people. Understand? If you continue to justify, then you forever never do. But if you are serious about life and you see the importance of this Dhamma, this cultivation, how can you justify and procrastinate? Now you see, if you are serious about life, if it can make so much difference to your life, can transform your life radically from the state of suffering to liberation. Why must you wait? If I were you, I will diligently strive on with faithfulness without hesitation. That's why in 1971, the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, somebody gave me the book. From that point onward, no turning back. I seriously determined to cultivate. The virya was very strong, and I know this is what I need. When I understand this, my whole of my life and existence, not only this life, future life, all taken care of. And this is the most important thing in life. Nothing else matter. Okay? So that one is the first answer. So don't allow the thought to justify, I got family duties, I got a family I cannot cultivate. Forget about it. When you cultivate the sati sampajana, you remember? There are four things that the Buddha talked about. Yeah? Four types of clear comprehension. What are they? Yeah? What are they? The four. Cannot remember. Just now I talk about domain of meditation. It's one of them. First one is what? Clear comprehension of what? Wow. Cannot feed you all anymore. Go back and find out yourself. Otherwise, every time you assume I will tell you everything. You better go back and find out. Because this one is very, very important. The four types of clear comprehension. Okay, next question.
I think I'll read all the remaining three. Yes. Ask me to ask.
Yeah.
The question is how to let go of status and ego.
Okay.
Really important in cultivating letting go. And how to let go the concept of self.
No, I tell you. That's why when you are already conditioned with the word letting go, you will always ask questions in that direction. The second question is, I cannot remember. What was it?
How to let go
status and ego. Oh, I ask you the same question, how to let go status and ego. Will naturally make you? No, make you what? Humility will arise, understand or not? You will not cling on to all these things. You know that they are not you. These are only words. Praise and blame are duality that can bring about conflict, misunderstanding and suffering. So why do you want to cling on to your wealth and your possession and your reputation? So what? If people call you teacher, master, oh, you feel very great. Oh, I'm now a teacher, I'm now a master. That's why Kayana Mita called me Brother Theo. Finish. Understand? But then you will ask me, you know, hey, but you, every year we celebrate your birthday, you know. Then they got this title, you know, teacher's video and all those things, you know. I already said already. These are what the Kayana Mita want to do out of gratitude. And maybe thanks, the way they want to express their gratitude and thanks towards what I have shared with them. So if they find this word appropriate, they are free to use. But to my nature, this nature already know this for my mind is not me, Brother Teo is not me. So whatever you use to me is no different. If it can bring forth the faith, and the understanding, why not? You go ahead. But don't be deluded. That's why the condition I set before I come out to share is, we are all Dhamma friends. Kayana Mita. We share understanding. There is no authority over you. Technically, I am not your teacher. You know what is the word technically? Because otherwise, I set authority on you. Understand? My teacher, I dare not go against him. I dare not disbelieve him. But luckily, because I'm a lay person, I don't have rope. That's why the authority is not so high on you. Understand? And then you can say, who is Brother Teo? He's also a lay person like me. Ah, then you can talk friendly. Then we discuss. Then the second condition is what? No right, no wrong. Ah, that one solves a lot of our problems there. The moment you have right and wrong, you grasp, you cling, you hold, and you want to let go. How? Cannot. No right, no wrong means we respect each other for what we are. Your understanding, my understanding. We respect. Then, we are here to share. Share means what? I share with you my understanding, sincerely. And you share with me yours. I learn from you. You learn from me. Then the third condition is, take whatever that benefits you and go forth to develop your cultivation. But then, very peaceful, isn't it? No more problem. Otherwise, a lot of problem. So attachment to the question, wealth, reputation, fame is the same. These are the eight worldly conditions. But the question is funny, you know, how to let go of this? I ask you, how to let go? When you don't have wisdom, like Leslie say, how to let go? When you have wisdom, you know that these are not real. These are praise and blame and all those things. Or the compliment, the word given by human being. So if you don't really have that delusion to cling and grab, thinking that there is a person who has all this title, then you are free. Your mind is free. When your mind is free, when you don't hold to all this reputation and title, do you need to let go or not? It's only the person who cling and gives so much meaning. Hey, my reputation, my title, I'm a doctor, no? I'm a prime minister. No? Oh. Then this one, my wealth, no? My loved one and all those things. No? That's why they have to practice letting go. How do we let go of this? Very easy, renounce, all gone. donate everything, finish. Then you will come and say, no, brother, I got a family, you know, I got to look after them, you know, I need income, you know, nobody support me, you know. So, then why ask me that question? Understand? Without wisdom, you will justify and create all this answer. The third one is what? Third one more interesting.
The third one is wealth accumulation and distribution equally important in cultivating Latino.
I think that one already explained. But the first part is interesting. Is wealth accumulation and distribution important to cultivation? What do you think? The Buddha never say cannot have, no. The Buddha say cannot what? Cannot attach and cling. Good food, got condition to eat, eat. That's why we eat, but don't overeat. Then, if the wealth can come through proper means, through understanding, what's wrong? Because the use of wealth is very important. If the use of wealth is wise, understand. That's why you all trust me with your Kayanamita fund. Otherwise, why you donate so much to Kayanamita fund? Because I can abuse it, you know. But why you still continue to have faith and donate? Because it has done so much wholesomeness. And every Kayanamita know that this money is not been simply misappropriated. It has been committed to all of the very, very wholesome activity. All those Dhamma books, my recording and all those things, or whatever Dhamma activity that we do, we use Kayanamita fund. Only Kayanamita fund can partake in all this. Even if you are very wealthy, you got all the wealth in this world, you are not able to do. Unless you donate to the Kayanamita fund, then it's different. So there are reasons why people trust this nature of mind to do all these things. So wealth you can have, if you have the Dhamma, it will be useful because it can bring forth a lot of wholesomeness. You can not only donate to help relieve suffering, to help propagate the Dhamma, to bring about better condition for the world. You can be a blessing to many. So wealth accumulation and distribution is part and parcel of what they call a good life. If you know how to develop all this, then you can have the good life. You can provide for the comfort of your family members, yourself, your loved ones, and you can be a blessing to others too. Then you can contribute to society, donate to Buddhist activity, donate to the poor, the needy. Then you can also, like Bill Gates and Belinda Foundation, they did so much humanitarian work for the world. They helped to develop technology to help overcome disease and other things. And they help to bring about so much what they call benefits for the world. They contribute so much of their wealth towards this welfare states or welfare foundation to help out humanity in so many aspects. That's why every life they come, they also have that law of karma friction. They reap what they sow. Where they donated so much, they will receive the same amount when they come back in future life. So all these are very wholesome. Last one is what?
The last one is how to let go of the concept of self.
Oh, this is the best. When you have the concept of self, you want to let go. I ask you how. The finger belong to you. Chop it off, hurt. Don't chop, steal, kill, and do all those funny things. That's enough. So, the egoic mind, the Sakya Ditthi is here, delusion. Self-delusion. So how to let go of self-delusion? You ask me. Then I ask you back. If it can be done, eh? This world no more suffering. Everybody enlightened. Because this is something that the mind has to realize, that this is a delusion. That's why the Buddha said the five aggregates of form and mind, they are impermanent, lead to suffering. You have to awaken to it. You have to realize it. Then only you come to understand that this is not you. The five aggregates of form and mind is not you, karmically conditioned out for you to use to come to this world. Then you wake up. Then like the Buddha said, anatta lakkhana sutta, this body is physical element, the four elements. They go the way of nature. There is no knowing. How can it be you? Then the five aggregates, they are conditioned arising, dependent originating. That's why they are impermanent. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. And yet you are still there. So how can they be you? And all this you never meditate. You never awaken to. You never realize. You just want to listen. Then through knowledge, you want to practice letting go. Impossible, I tell you. You have to realize this truth. Awaken to it. That's why the Buddha said, I can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself and realize this. Insight into the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self. If it can be done, the Buddha is very compassionate to teach you all. That's why it cannot be taught. That's why he said you have to walk the path yourself to realize it yourself. That's it. Don't try to be foolish. Practice letting go. And the best is letting go of the self-delusion. Can let go. So easy. Everybody enlightened already. This one need wisdom, understanding, insight, awakening. Okay? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Luckily, we got four questions prepared by Brother Gan. I think he knows. Nobody asks one most of the time. I don't know why now you all become so timid. Huh? You should learn to inquire and ask more. Anybody else got anything that you want to clarify? Ah, yes. Brother Wee. Wong. Sorry, Wong. Yeah, it makes you up. Sorry. Yeah. Your first part is what? You say Buddha advice is strive on with heedfulness. Mahayana, yes. Mind to mind. Okay, very good question. That's why you must ask. You all must thank him. It's a very good question. You heard of this, mind to mind transfer. Not only Master Shenhua, it's inside most of the Mahayana Sutta, because they call it the mind to mind or nature to nature's transfer. That's why the wise one, they don't need words, understand? And if you understand, all of the great beings, the great cultivator, their nature are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. When you have the true silence, you can draw their energy, you can tap into their nature. If you can have affinity, those beings, you can receive them. Because this one, beyond thought, beyond mind, the mundane mind, understand? This one is through the nature, nature to nature, it can feel. But to receive that, that is the difficult part. You must be a cultivator of the way. You must have that nature too. Or at least a little bit open already, understand? Your nature, you must at least connect back to your nature. Understand what the silent mind is, what that true mind is. At least you must have that. Then from there you can receive slowly, slowly. Then as you cultivate, as you stabilize, as you become more and more skillful, then your nature open up. As your wisdom grow, as you straighten your view, as you insight in the phenomena, you will connect back to your past. You will inherit your spiritual nature. Then you will reach back your level that you have cultivated before. Then from there you can draw and receive a lot of teaching and understanding. Then your nature can also be a blessing to all. That's why those who attend my meditation class, they will know, even when you attentively listen here, you silence your mind, unknowingly, this nature's energy went in. Then it can even activate your gateway without you knowing it. You only need to have the faith, the spiritual faculty, and silence your mind. And all this is very, very easy to understand. Nothing like mystical. The word is mystical. You think psychic, huh? You think Buddha can give, he don't want to give. The problem is, not everybody can receive. So even to receive some water, you need a container or a cup. If you have not cultivated and developed even a small cup, how to receive? This is just an analogy. Don't go and say, Brother Teo say, got cup one, no, cultivate already. Your cup, big or small. Yours is Nescafe or Kopi or Cappuccino, quite low. This is just an analogy. Don't go and mistakenly and gullibly go and attach and cling. If Brother Teo say one, no, and someone recorded, no. Yeah, I did say. But I give as an analogy. So that's why I say, don't quote me. Very dangerous if you quote me. Otherwise, you go and tell your Brother Teo say, the cup can have Nescafe or Cappuccino or Kopi O. Then somebody say, what if I want Teh C, mint him? Wow, God, lad. Give also got so many conditions. Understand? So, cultivation is, if you are ready, like the saying goes, if the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And not only the teacher will appear, the book will come, the guide will come, the teacher will come. And all those great beings, nature will come. You will receive them all. And this is very true. When needs nature went through, you understand. When the time comes, when you are ready, all these are there. And you can feel them, you can detect them. And because of affinity, you will come into contact with them. They will come to you, initially. Then after that, your nature will go to them. That's how I contacted my 4 or 5 teachers. I call them teacher because I learned a little bit from each of them. Everyone that have affinity with me, I learn a bit. I draw upon some of their, what they call, their special quality. Then I use them because I know how to use them. And sometimes how I use them and develop the wisdom beyond, they also cannot understand, they also don't know. But this nature is very beautiful, like I set the 3 conditions with you all. No authority, no right, no wrong. Make use of whatever that can benefit this nature. Then you just go and use it for cultivation. Then every time I have gratitude, you will have this gratitude and respect for whomever who has helped this nature in one way or another. That's why that sense of deep gratitude and respect is always there. And this nature is very different. It accord and flow. Wherever there is truth, it understand, it can receive very fast. Because this is the way this nature gives when it arises. So all this, as cultivator, you understand. Okay? Very long. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why you must ask questions. Otherwise, this type of answer cannot come out. Because it's not me speaking to you. It's from inside coming out. a lot of this one from inside. I never learned this life. You ask me how I know, I cannot tell you. Because this is not me, the form of mind is not me. But this nature is connected to the spiritual nature. That's why from that spiritual nature it inherit, that it have this understanding, it can share. Otherwise this life I never learn a lot of the things that I share with you. It's never from this life. Okay? Is it late? Late, we better stop. Yeah, it should end. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, the gate closed, you cannot go out. Your leave is not long. Good. Very good, very good. So you are safe. You don't have to worry about the gate. Okay. No problem. You tell him thank you for his question. Also, the title, you should thank him. Otherwise, you cannot clear up this misconception. Understand? Don't go and make fun of him. No. Wow, you come out with this type of title. Nearly make us go to Holland. Don't say that. Never say that, because he is sincere, understand? And because of his question, his title, you get to understand the real teaching, clear up the misunderstanding, the misconception, so that you are not gullible. It's just like last time when you meditate, you all method technique so important. Now you clear up that thought-based meditation, because last time you cannot understand. It takes time. Then the moment you understand, you look back, like a kid, after you grow up, you look back at last time, how foolish you are, simply do things. You think it's adventurous, last time when young. Wow, all sorts of things you want to try. Then as you grow up, you look back, you're lucky nothing happened. Otherwise, really stupid. Last time, drive motor, let go two hands. Accident. And some more thing, you have a lot of great rider. Now you look back, you are just like a mosquito, on the traffic, you are gone. I tell you, the most dangerous pedestrian are the motor rider and the pedestrian that walk around the city. Well, the car don't care, they just drive, especially the truck, the driver. Okay, yeah.
Before we end this session and sharing,
Sadhu. So as usual, I give the brother joy. He sent me my transport. So I rejoice. Sadhu. Then he will offer back to your center where you all blanja us today, your dinner. Sadhu. So this is wealth accumulation and distribution. So zero sum theory, but a lot of wholesomeness done. So you must understand how to do good. Be generous. Give first. Next time, put bigger amount in. Understand? You got nothing to lose. You'll get back the same amount. But you stingy, calculate. Every speaker, I can only have this budget. And then you limit what you can offer. But you don't play a fool. Not all like me. Never take some big one. Next time, they say, got bigger one or not. Yeah, okay. We will do the sharing of merits in Pali. Yeah. Sharing of merits is the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana Ittavatta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo อิดังเมญาทินังโหตุสุขิตาหอนตุญาตโยอิมินาปุญญังคาเมนะมาเมบาลสมากามโอสตังสมากามโหตุยาวานิวานาปัตติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.